Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
In the upper 60s, showers and thunderstorms likely tomorrow with cloudy skies and the high in the mid-80s. 69 degrees now in Nashville at 9 o'clock.
All right, I'm now going to make a fool out of myself, and you're going to help me do it.
Yay!
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, today from the packed Capitol Theater in Cleveland, Ohio, where for the first time ever, beer was available to the audience.
All right, audience, what do you think? How many say... Security?
Yes.
Among other topics, we'll examine comic superheroes and the actors who brought them to life.
George Clooney.
George Clooney,
that's right.
Yes, I'd
Why
like to...
would they put a mask on such a man? That's just wrong.
That's wrong.
Yeah, but they put spandex on him, too.
Come back in a moment for some eerie reflections. Says You in Cleveland, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. In Syria today, the purported sounds of explosions in the city of Homs, it was taken from an amateur video. Though it can't be independently verified, activists say government troops have renewed an offensive to regain control of the area. They say at least 35 people have been killed this weekend. An Egyptian security official says former President Hosni Mubarak has been slipping in and out of consciousness and that his wife and two stepdaughters were allowed to visit today. Mubarak is in a prison hospital. He's serving a life term for failing to stop the killings of protesters during last year's uprising. Spain's prime minister is warning things will get worse before they get better. Spain has become the fourth Eurozone country to ask for a bailout, as Lauren Freyer reports from Madrid.
Unlike previous bailouts for Greece, Portugal, and Ireland, this loan will go directly into a fund to rescue Spanish banks, not the government. Banks here are drowning in unpaid property loans left over from the housing bubble. Europe is offering Spain $125 billion, but it's unclear how much of that Madrid will need. It's awaiting results of bank audits later this month. It's been a dramatic turnaround for Spanish officials who denied needing aid right up until they made the request. Officials don't even want to call this a bailout, though if they accept the full amount on offer, it'll be bigger than previous rescues for Portugal and Ireland. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Freyer in Madrid.
A top cabinet minister and his deputy are among those killed in the crash of a police helicopter in Kenya. The helicopter went down on the outskirts of Nairobi today in Peru. Officials say there are no survivors among 14 people aboard a helicopter that crashed in the southeastern Andes Mountains. Rescue crews reached the site of the crash earlier this weekend. There's been another attack on Christians in Nigeria. Witnesses say gunmen attacked two churches today and carried out a suicide bombing. There's been no claim of responsibility, but attacks on churches are a tactic used by the Islamist group Boko Haram. At the French Open in Paris, Maria Sharapova won the women's final yesterday, giving her a career grand slam, and now it's the men's turn. The men's final is getting underway, as Eleanor Beardsley reports from Paris.
The number one men's player, Serb Novak Djokovic, will take on Spaniard Rafael Nadal in the men's final at Paris's Roland Garros Stadium. Both players will be going for a record. Either Nadal will win his seventh French Open to break the record he shares with Bjorn Borg, or Djokovic will become the first man in 43 years to win four straight Grand Slam tournaments. Meanwhile, 25-year-old Russian Maria Sharapova beat Italian Sara Serrani to win her first French Open and become the 10th woman ever to obtain a Grand Slam. Sharapova has now won the French Open, Wimbledon, and the U.S. and Australian Opens. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez says his most recent medical tests following his cancer treatment show that he is in good health. He spoke to reporters at the presidential palace this weekend. Tomorrow, he is expected to officially register for this October's election. The U.S. shipped fewer cars, airplanes, and heavy machinery in April, shrinking the trade deficit almost 5% to just over $50 billion. Imports also plummeted. As Danielle Carson reports, analysts say the weaker global economy is dampening demand for American-made goods.
Almost 40% of the U.S.'s economic output has come from exports since 2009, and the biggest driver of that growth has been selling goods to emerging markets. So Jacob Obina, an economist at RBC Capital Markets, says the slip in exports to China and Brazil last month is especially troublesome.
Any slowing in that particular part of the world is going to have significant ramifications for U.S. exports. What you're effectively doing is slowing down what's been one of the main pillars of economic activity during the recovery so far.
Exports to Europe dropped 11% in April, and with the region's continuing debt crisis, Obina expects sales of U.S. goods to the eurozone to decline even more in the next couple of months. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson.
In basketball, the Miami Heat is going to the NBA Finals again. They'll play the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Heat beat the Boston Celtics last night in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final. In hockey, the New Jersey Devils still in the hunt for the Stanley Cup. They came away with a Game 5 win over the Los Angeles Kings last night. Still, the Kings lead the best-of-seven series 3-2. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Poetry Foundation, celebrating 100 years of Poetry Magazine, online at poetryfoundation.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Cleveland, Ohio, comes from the Gordon Square Arts District and the good folks at WCPN Idea Stream in Cleveland.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From the Capitol Theater in the Gordon Square Arts District in Cleveland, Ohio, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's back in Cleveland and ready to rock and roll, Arnie Reisman. Gee, oh my goodness. Oh, your family's here, Arnie. She's from just across the lake, up past the canal, along the seaway, then inland. Francine Akbar. And she's from right here. You know that voice. You've no doubt had lunch hundreds of times in front of her, Miss Dee Perry. And who's the leader this week?
The rock and roller himself.
Oogie.
Arnie. Is the captain. To my left, team two. She had a good time the first time, so she's back in Cleveland for more. Carolyn Faye Fox. She has friends all about to reunion with, as she has everywhere we go. Miss Paula Lyons. And he's old friends with the folks here in Cleveland, but he's brand spanking new to us, Mr. Dan Malthrop. Who leads today?
Mr. Dan.
We're
going with the Cleveland option.
All right.
That's the point.
Dan will captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners, bring a pen and paper. How many of you brought pen and paper? Right. That's a good 6% of the audience. Yeah, that's all right. Let's begin. The tradition continues. Whenever we travel, we take care to familiarize ourselves with the work of local legislatures. Yes, it's the round we call silly statutes. For 10 points, please tell us what Ohio lawmakers might have had in mind when they prohibited, Carolyn,
all right,
pentafeminine domesticity.
Pentafeminine domesticity. You can't have five women living together.
I'm sorry?
You can't have five women living together. Pentafeminine domesticity.
You know, you can laugh all you want. She's exactly right. Anyone here in violation of the statute? You cannot have more than five women may live together. No more than five women may live in the same house.
Is this why we have a quartet?
I think so, probably, because you'd be in trouble.
Is that current law?
I'm sorry?
Current law?
I think so. I think it goes back a way, but yes, these are on the books. D, try this one, remembering that it's your state, not ours.
Thanks. Thanks, Al.
In Bexley, Ohio, one cannot be privied to gamble. By what statute?
Cannot be privied?
Yes. Cannot be privied to gamble. By what statute?
By the no gambling in the bathroom statute?
Good guess, me.
Well, that's always good advice, certainly. You know what? Close enough.
Close
I'm
enough.
Giving it a 10 points. I just, you know. I want to know what kind of problem precipitated the fact that one cannot put a slot machine in an outhouse.
An outhouse? Oh, I would have thought it was the restroom in a casino.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Would that be it?
Does it actually say outhouse in the statute?
It says outhouse, yes.
Oh.
Outhouses cannot house slot machines.
That's a good thing.
Which I think is just good sense, frankly. And this one, I can't believe this, Dan, but it's your town. In Cleveland.
I'm ready.
Remission of regulatory rates must precede rodential reconnaissance. Stated another way.
Remission of regulatory rates must precede?
Yes. Rodential reconnaissance.
Rodential reconnaissance. Well, that's about, you've got to pay. You have to pay the pest control guy before he comes to get your rats.
Suspension of regular.
As opposed to it being based on performance?
Precisely.
Okay. Well, no, that's not quite it. That might be true. It's not quite it.
Pay to spread. Suspension of regulation?
No, remission of regulatory rates.
Remission?
Must precede rodential reconnaissance.
So you have to refund before you count the rats.
You have to pay before you can do away with the rodents.
Before you can study the rodents or
you
find out where they live.
You can't accept money from a rat who wants to relocate.
You know what? I'm going to give you the 10 points.
Thank you. We wouldn't have gotten the points without the laugh.
That's right. You must buy a hunting license to catch mice.
A hunting license?
Really?
A hunting license?
A hunting license.
In Cleveland, you must buy a hunting license.
That's right. What's that above your mantle there?
Exactly. What is the enforcement of this statute like? What is the...
Yeah.
All right, try this one, Arnie. Mm-hmm. Lima, Ohio, exhibits its civic pride every time it exercises the self-inclusive geodetic publishing restriction. How so?
Geodetic publishing restriction.
It shows its civic pride, Lima does, every time it exercises... Ooh, it got quiet in here.
Right.
Every time it exercises the self-inclusive geodetic publishing restriction.
Well, you can't put out your own phone book.
That's very interesting, actually. That's not correct, but interesting.
No, interesting. Yeah.
Anybody
else have any ideas? Geodetic.
Is this about maps?
It is everything about maps.
It can't include your publishing. It puts in the pronunciation of its name?
Boy, that's... You know what? I'm going to give you 6 points.
Something about Lima.
On the
being
map.
On a map.
On the map.
Yes, it is. It's,
yes.
It's everything about that.
It's what put Lima on the map.
No, you know what? You're 8 points there. Any help from the other side?
Must be in bold.
Right.
Ooh, that's a good 8 points.
Formerly a bean, now a town.
Any help from the other side?
We got as close as it might have something to do with maps.
Yes, it's
that's about all.
Anybody out there from Lima? No. Anybody know what this is?
No idea.
Nope. No map may be sold in Lima, Ohio. That does not have Lima, Ohio.
Oh, I see.
Clearly stated on the map.
So No matter. You can't buy a map of any other state.
That's exactly. I just cannot buy a map
or any
that does not have Lima.
Peru.
And Paula, I saved this one for you.
Oh, wonderful.
In Paulding, Ohio. Is that right, Paulding? Paulding. Okay.
Paulding.
In Paulding, Ohio, cops can curb chaos by commencing counter-cur activities.
Well, cur is a dog,
that's
right?
That's exactly
and
right.
So anti-dog activities, is they don't allow dogs?
No, they allow dogs all right, but it's
sort of
a...
They can take dogs away?
It's sort of a counter-cur activity.
Oh, they bring cats.
Oh, what a great guess. No,
they take your dogs away? They forbid, No.
It's much worse than that. No,
really?
And they don't stick the dogs on you.
They unleash your dog and force you to run after it.
I like that.
You know, if they don't, they should. I really think that's true. But
it doesn't have anything to do with dogs' deposits.
No, it has nothing whatsoever. Thank goodness. It has nothing to do with that.
Wouldn't want to see that being flung around.
No, I...
But that would control chaos.
Well... This is, you know what, I'm going to give you 6 points because, you know, I could have done better on this, but I didn't know how else
teammates,
to write this out.
Before we give it up, teammates, any ideas?
Any ideas?
Anti-cur activity. What don't dogs like?
They don't like cats.
They don't like cats. They don't like leashes.
You know what they really...
Postman. Does it have anything to do with postman?
It might, but you know what dogs really don't like? Dogs don't like to be bitten.
They bite the dogs?
You mean the cops bite the dogs?
The cops bite the dogs?
It's the man bites dog story.
What?
What?
A policeman in Poland may bite a dog to keep him quiet.
Really?
Gosh. And then you end up with a rabid policeman.
It's altogether possible.
It's another one of those that conjures up the meeting out of which came the law.
Yes.
I got it.
If a dog is noisy, a policeman may bite him to quiet him.
Can't be.
To quiet him, really? You think it's going to quiet him? I think that's where they came up with the word cur.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, Francine, promoters of pie-eyed piscinery will be punished promptly. Because
you can't.
Is this about being drunk?
Yeah, you can't make your fish drunk.
That's exactly right.
Except if he's at the Capitol Theater.
You are prohibited in Ohio from getting a fish drunk.
That's a good barroom scene.
What would you give?
And one more
fish
for my trout.
So no vodka in the aquarium.
Yes, I don't know.
I'd like to order a fin and tonic, please.
Very good, you guys. We've had a little bit. That's our silly statutes in Ohio. Thank you very much for playing that round. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little help from the Cavani String Quartet. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing Rounds. Dan, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one will have the actual definition. The other two will have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Arnie's team. 10 points up for grabs to Arnie if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Dan, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word...
Smuse.
S-M-E-U-S-E.
It's a cat holding his nose.
Ladies? Says You begins its fall season of live performances with a trip to Nashville, Tennessee, September 8th and 9th. We'll be at the Polk Theater at TPAC for two shows. Then on Saturday, October 20th, we'll be in Milwaukee for a little constant badgering Wisconsin wordplay with Says You. There's our New Year's weekend taping in Boston and more soon to follow. You can find tickets, information, and details for all our shows at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou.
So remember, that's September in Nashville, October in Milwaukee, and December in Boston. It's the new season of live performances of Says You. We'll be right back.
This is Neil Conan. In the week ahead on Talk of the Nation, Europe strains to save Spain from default, and with it, the euro. Political junkie Ken Rudin with a new trivia question on Wednesday. And Thursday, Old Jews Telling Jokes, a new off-Broadway comedy review. Join us for that and much more in the coming week on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 1 until 3.
Support for Says You on WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from the College of Engineering at Lipscomb University, offering a new master's degree in engineering management beginning this fall. More information is at engineering.lipscomb.edu. And by Nashville Pet Emergency Clinic, locally owned for 36 years, providing emergency pet care when the family vet is closed. Open nights, weekends, and holidays at Rivergate and on 12th Avenue South. More at 383-2600. The time is 9:21, 68 degrees in Nashville.
The Cavani String Quartet. That is Annie Fillard on the violin, Mari Sato on the violin, Kirsten Doctor on the viola, and Mary Peckham on the cello. Thank you very much, ladies. And this gives us a moment to thank our scorekeepers. Would you help me thank Mr. Michael Litt and Mr. Colin Miklos? Thank you very much, guys, for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word smuse. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Snooze, to network in France. No, not really. Smooze comes to us from the world of cheese making. To smooze is to develop a soft, marshmallow-like consistency.
Oh, you're so sure that's wrong.
Snoozy.
Okay.
Yes, it's a snooze you can't refuse.
To develop a marshmallow-like consistency.
In cheese.
In cheese. Or it could be something else. Dan, what say you?
It's actually, Carolyn's wrong. It's the trap for catching mice in Cleveland, which is why it costs so much.
The smooze. You got to go out. You got to buy the smooze.
It's issued by City Hall, as a matter of fact. No, in all seriousness, it's a hole found in a hedge.
A hole found in a hedge.
Through which a fox might run, or perhaps a small ground rodent.
Oh, I see.
A field muse.
Okay. The old hole in the hedge through which...
I need this like a hole in the hedge. Yeah.
It could be it. Or Paula, something else.
It's actually a verb. Smooze. Smuse, excuse me, and it just means to squiggle and squirm.
To squiggle and squirm is to smuse. Well, that could be it. It could be to squiggle and squirm. It could be a hole in the hedge. Or it could be to develop a marshmallow-like consistency in cheese. It's one of those three. And the choice, Arnold, is yours.
I vote for the geodetic publishing restriction. Good. It's always amazing that it's always one of those.
Yep.
Anybody have any ideas?
I think it isn't the hedge.
I don't think it's the hedge.
Shall we eliminate
and
here?
I thought the cheese stood
you
alone.
The cheese.
The cheese stood alone?
The cheese stood alone, huh? A marshmallow consistency. So just squiggle. Do you think it might be squiggle and squirm, eh?
Not especially.
Okay, so we've eliminated all three.
Yeah, we often hear
that. You can go have dinner now. We'll be with you in a moment.
Arnie, go for the mousetrap.
Yes, right. Go for the... Oh, boy. All right, well, I don't know.
I'm just confident it's not the hole in the hedge.
Dee, if you had to stand up and choose one now, what would it be?
Just the word schmooze sounds kind of soft and marshmallowy, I'm still with the cheese.
Schmooze.
You're gonna go with the, we're going to go with the cheese. Because, I don't know, squiggle and squirm seems...
Improbable.
Almost obvious.
Oh,
yes.
Almost
obvious.
It would be obvious.
Yeah, you know, obvious. Stop snoozing in your seat.
So your choice
is?
Yeah,
I think I know that Carolyn is a food writer and all that, but we're going to go with the cheese. The cheese, reducing something to a marshmallow consistency or whatever it is.
Carolyn, they have come to the conclusion that to smooze is to develop a marshmallowy-like consistency in cheese. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Smooze. Please fake a definition.
Hey!
10 points.
You have to do it.
For that bluff. Okay. All right, audience, what do you think? How many say... Security.
Yes.
How many say squiggle and squirm? How many say the hole in the hedge?
Maybe this is in Ohio.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the hole in the hedge has taken the day. Dan, that was your definition. Is that, in fact, what a smooze is?
Smooze, a hole in a hedge.
They wow. know what they're talking about here.
Wow.
It's the old
has anyone
smooze.
Ever heard that before?
Right.
So it's not originalism.
Go.
Okay.
All right. Let's go on to round three. My son Benjamin couldn't be here this week. He's home rehearsing for his presentation on comic strips. It is in his honor, stolen right off his desk, actually, that we offer a round of comic nonsense. Please answer the following concerning comics. Carolyn?
Yes.
What did Charlie Brown's father do for a living?
All he ever said about it was, wah, wah, wah. So how about a hint?
Well, if you look at Charlie Brown, you can't believe it.
What, are you as a model or something?
An executive.
I'm sorry?
He was a barber.
He was a barber. Brown's father was a barber. Did you all know that?
No.
Okay, all right, just so we know. All right, D, he's never been married. He's raising his sister's kids, and his middle name is Fauntleroy. Who is he?
His middle name is Fauntleroy.
He's never been married. He's raising his sister's kids, and his middle name is Fauntleroy. Who is he?
Raising his sister's kids. This is a comic strip?
Yes.
Not one that was on during my lifetime.
Right. It's gone from the pages.
It's not as it's the comics. It's all about the comics. It's not just comic strips. It's all about comics. The history of comics.
He's raising.
Oh.
Super Uncle.
Well, there's the other side. Do you know this other side?
No.
Okay.
No,
all right. I'm sure people in the audience know this. A couple of people know it.
He's raising
never been married, but he's raising his sister's kids. That's a pretty big
kids thing. Or kid?
Kids.
Kids.
How old are they?
Raising his sister's kids.
I could give you a great big hint, but that would cost
you
some points.
Well, you know, you could probably trust us with a hint.
Well, it's not your question.
It's not our question.
Well, if you can't answer, we'll take the hint.
And his middle name is Fauntleroy. You know, do you need a hint for this, do you think?
Nothing's coming.
Well, he's raising his sister's kids. You ask me how old they are. I really don't know, but they're all the same age.
Oh!
Oh! Donald Fauntleroy Duck?
Donald Fauntleroy Duck. is exactly right. Donald Fauntleroy Duck for, what do you think?
Seven.
That's a lot.
Hey.
Yeah. Sell.
7 points. We'll give him 7 points for that. He did get there. It was a pretty big hint, but he got there, so 7 points for that. Try this one, Dan.
Okay, come on, Mickey Mouse.
This is a tough one. This is a real tough one. Former Yale quarterback Brian Dowling is as much a part of comics history as almost anyone, yet he never drew so much as a line. How can this possibly be true?
Go
ahead.
He's a character in Doonesbury, or he's the inspiration for a character in Doonesbury.
Do you know what character? Brian Dowling would be...
The quarterback?
DB?
DB.
DB.
Yeah.
BD, but
BD.
Yes.
BD. It's the dyslexic team. Yeah.
Brian Dowling, great Ivy League quarterback, was the model for BD, Doonesbury's former foil. Was he the quarterback in the 29-29... Harvard
yes.
loss, was
yes.
that his? Okay.
And he's a Boston sportscaster.
No, that's
no,
Mike.
That's
Mike.
His brother.
Mike is his brother.
Mike's
Mike.
His brother. I'm sorry, he's from Cleveland?
Yeah.
Brian Dowling is from Cleveland?
Yeah. Learn something new every day.
Well, that was serendipitous, don't you think?
Yeah.
Arnie, this is my favorite question of the day.
Zonker Harris is real
so
first
early.
Name?
Absolute favorite question of the day. And there is an answer to this.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Arnie, a duck like Scrooge McDuck, second richest duck in the world, what do you figure he's worth?
Oh, my God. There's an actual number.
There's right? a number.
And it's not like gazillion.
Well, one of them says so. Yeah, there's one thing that...
It's $2 gazillion.
Oh, it's much more than that.
Oh, it's $200 gazillion.
It's somewhere in that area.
It's a
yes.
Google.
But would you like to... what does Forbes say?
What does Forbes say?
Yeah.
About Scrooge McDuck?
Or second,
second richest duck in the world.
So second who's the first richest duck?
I will say, I don't know who the first richest duck is.
Probably Daffy.
According right. to according to Scrooge's accountant, actually, his net worth is 1,000,000,009,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, But Forbes, however, has a different figure. You know what it might be?
Take us out of our misery.
Yes. I'm going to get, since you knew it was a fictional thing, I'm going to give you 7 points for being a good sport. Anybody want to...
I'm a good sport.
Anybody want to take a guess at it?
Zillion.
No, Forbes actually puts it at just under 29 billion.
That's not a billionaire.
Just, no, 29 billion.
And 29 why did billion? Forbes
yes.
do this?
Second, no, oh, I did. Forbes lists them at just under 29 billion.
Okay.
How did they come? How did they come? Was it the size of the money bin? I mean,
I don't know.
All right. I don't know why I asked that question. I was looking through. Well, I was looking through the comics, and I saw one where it actually had his accountant telling him how much he was worth, and then there was a little footnote under it: "See Forbes magazine." So I googled it, and I saw Forbes magazine put it at $29 billion, 28.8.
What animal form was the accountant?
He was another duck.
Oh.
He was another duck. Paula, try this one. The first time, it was Lewis Wilson. Next, it was Robert Lowry. The third time, it was Adam West.
Oh.
Who's it been since then?
Oh.
I have to name all of them?
If you can.
The Batman.
That's exactly right.
You know, I'm not good at this. You know, me and names, it's just a real...
See if you can help
it's
with your teammates.
Who played Batman, guys?
The guy who played Mr. Mom.
The guy who played Mr. Mom? Yeah, we can do that sort of thing. The guy who played Mr. Mom.
And then there was Val Kilmer.
Yeah. Val Kilmer.
Michael Keaton is right. Val Kilmer is right.
Val Kilmer.
Oosh. George Clooney.
George Clooney,
that's right.
Yes, I'd like
why
to...
would they put a mask on such a man? That's just wrong.
That's wrong.
Yeah, but they put spandex on him, too.
All right, then.
And a utility belt.
And there's one more.
There's one more.
There's just one more.
The most recent one. The most recent one.
Oh, the one. Didn't he play Spider-Man, too?
No.
Oh, that would be bad. Right.
That would be crossing your species, actually.
Right.
Anybody, I think there's a law against that in Lima.
Anybody up here know who was the last Batman?
Yeah. Christian Bale.
Christian Bale is exactly right. Very good. You get 8 points for that.
Out of five. It's easy math on that one.
Yeah, 8 points for that. Very good. And finally, Francine, arguably no place on Earth would prove as important to the development of comics as Glenville High School in Cleveland, Ohio. Oh. What was Glenville High's invaluable contribution?
Give me a clue.
The creators of Superman.
That's right. It's
Siegel and
Jerry Siegel and
Jerry Schuster.
Schuster and Siegel.
Schuster and Siegel.
The creators of Superman. Right.
That's exactly right. Very good. Do you know the story of how they met?
I do not.
They worked on the school newspaper, The Torch. Boy, what a newspaper that must have been. And they invented this telepathic villain called the Superman, who was trying to take over the world, and that didn't work. He couldn't fly then, but he could jump an eighth of a mile. So, there's all kinds of things. And,
an eighth of a mile.
Yes, it's true. And he would evolve through lawsuit in history into the Superman we know today. So very good, you guys, for taking on that round of Ben's Comics. Let's go on to round four, which is Arnie's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Dan, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word podsnappery. PODSNAPPERY. Podsnappery.
Eating edamame.
Ladies? Just a quick reminder, on September 8th and 9th, Says You goes to Nashville, Tennessee for two live performances of the show. Then on Saturday, October 20th, we'll be in Milwaukee for a little Wisconsin wordplay. Then New Year's weekend, we'll be back in Boston for a little light carousing and some original syntax. You can find tickets, information, and details for all our shows at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. So remember, September in Nashville, October in Milwaukee, and December in Boston. The new season of performances of Says You. We'll be right back.
I'm Jackie Leiden, coming up on the next On Point. These seem like big, troubled times, and Noam Chomsky joins us to give his take on everything from the Occupy movement to the Arab Spring. Plus, trillions of bacteria live in our bodies and outnumber our own cells 10 to 1. Who's in control, them or us? That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11. Support for Says You and WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from Sylvan Learning Center, delivering academic programs from ACT and IC test prep to personalized K-12 programs in reading, writing, and math. Located in Green Hills, Goodlettsville, and Franklin, 1-800-EDUCATE. And by E3 Innovate, helping homeowners improve the indoor air quality, comfort, and efficiency of their homes and facilitating ENERGY STAR and LEED for home certification. Details at e3innovate.com.
When is Says You coming to our town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions.
All answered on our website. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at sayu.net. That's SAYSYOU.
That is the Cavani String Quartet. Thanks, folks, for giving us a little time with the word podsnappery. We will go first to Dee Perry.
Sure. Easy for you to say. It could be a forerunner of the motel owned by a guy named Pods. Podsnappery. But,
It could be, but...
Podsnappery.
Hopefully not.
In fact, it is the act of over-decorating, fancying up a child's crib. Podsnappery.
Over-decorating. A child's crib. You just throw that... You just go nuts. It's pod snapper.
I've seen it happen.
Oh, yeah. You put one more stuffed animal in that crib, there's no room for the kid. That's pod snappery. Could be that, or Arnie, something else.
Well, I thought it was a sequel to Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Revolt of the Body Snatchers. But it's actually just a term meaning your inability to accept bad news. The act of, like, turning into a mass of jelly when you hear what you don't want to hear.
The inability to accept bad news is podsnappery.
Yes, you're a victim of podsnappery.
Yeah. I've brought home many a report card that engendered podsnappery.
I know that you got a P in podsnappery.
Yes, sir. Could be that. Or Francine, something else.
Podsnappery is a plant that is used in Malaysian cuisine to make a kind of a hot chili dish. Podsnappery.
A Malaysian plant from which we get a saucy little number. That could be podsnappery. It could be the inability to accept bad news, or it could be over-decorating a child's crib. It's one of those three, and the choice, Dan, is yours.
Wow.
Yes, siree.
Wow.
Having fun yet?
Indeed. Indeed. I still like the idea of a nap.
Yeah.
The fancying a child's crib, the inability to accept bad news, and or a plant for a Malaysian chili dish.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think?
I would rule out the Malaysian chili dish, only because it's something I've never heard of, and it just doesn't sound very Malaysian.
Podsnappery.
Podsnappery.
It sounds a little more English.
It does.
Okay, so say we rule that out.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless you like it.
I'm good with that. We've got to eliminate one.
The problem with ruling it out is that we're not left with very much.
That's right.
Always a
problem.
That's
right.
We beg to differ. I don't know. I think it's over decorating a child's crib. What the heck?
I could see that.
On the other hand, it could be because the word nap is in there, that you decided to go with crib.
I don't want to psychoanalyze everybody tonight.
Well, I suppose we have to choose one, don't we?
You're the captain.
And you are the captain, Dan.
Will you forgive me if I'm wrong?
Of course.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go with Dee's answer, with Dee's the fancying, the over-fancying of a child's crib.
Dee, the captain has stepped up and said that podsnappery is the over-decoration of a child's crib. Is that, in fact, what it is?
My card says, please make up a definition.
Oh.
Which you did.
Well played, Miss Perry, well played.
Well played. All right, audience, what do you think? How many say...
Oh, they're still saying it's the crib out there. I heard something.
Yeah. How many say bad news?
It.
How many say saucy Malaysian plant? Okay. I think the inability to accept bad news is carrying the day here. Arnie, that was yours. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
That's exactly...
The inability to accept bad news.
They can't put whatever anything by this audience. Very good, you guys.
Yeah.
This week's suggestion for a spotlight round comes from Bonnie Baker of Boynton Beach, Florida. She writes, I love those terrible pun rounds you do, like name the flowers or the state capitals, you know, things like that. They're usually really hard, but one time the subject was types of cars, and I got every single one. I'd love to hear that one again and relive my moment of glory. Well, we're happy to oblige, Bonnie. Back we go to Lincoln, Massachusetts, where producer Bob Lyons and Tony Khan joined us that day in Season 7 for a round titled, I'm on Auto. From the following ridiculous clues, please tell me the classic make or model of automobile I have in mind. An example, don't get caught by the camels, is of course Dodge Caravan.
Or a Hupmobile.
Dodge.
And let me get this straight. You're booing to discourage me? No, sirree. Let's try this one. Carolyn, dearth of doggies.
Dearth of doggies. That would be no cows.
Dearth, lack.
Okay, there's a lack of cowless.
Lack.
Lack of doggies.
Oh, come on.
Beefless,
lack of...
Cadillac. You want Cadillac?
I want Cadillac. Yes, what was so hard about that?
I don't know
and
why.
And that's correct.
That.
Why?
Yes.
Oh, you better explain that one, Richard.
Cattle, a dearth of doggies is a cattle lack. Yes, very good.
Sure it is.
Boy, you we'll think that's bad. Wait till you hear this one. Yeah. Bob, Milne's program, perhaps.
What is it?
Milne, M-I-L-N-E, Milne's program, perhaps.
Program.
Maybe.
I got it.
Poo maybe.
Winnebago.
Winnebago.
Yeah. I don't know what a bago is.
But, I like the Winnie.
It's an Irish. It's an
you know,
Irish
I love the Winnie. I give them some points for the Winnebago.
Yeah,
but
we have it.
Oh,
we got it.
But the other side does have it.
Okay.
Milne's what?
Milne's program.
Program.
Perhaps.
Yeah. You're right.
I'll give you some points. You were getting there when you started with Pooh. We'll have to go to the other side.
Pooh's show.
Yes, Pooh's show is Milne's program.
Richard, can we
parse that answer a bit for us?
Sort that one out, yes.
Pooh's show.
Mr. Milne's character, of course, is Winnie the Pooh. Pooh's program is Pooh's show. Very good.
Okay.
Arnie, just for that, I'm going to hit you with the hard one.
Go ahead. Who cares?
Pearl opener.
Pearl opener?
Yep.
Opener.
Oh, that.
A pairing.
I will give you a hint if you get stuck here.
Yeah. Okay, so we got...
So you'd open it with a...
It's a blank. I'm going to give them the hint.
Knife blade.
Pearl is capitalized.
Yeah.
Opener.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so someone would open for Pearl.
Mini. Yeah.
Mini Minor?
Mini Cooper.
Not Mini Cooper, no. Oh.
Mini Minor.
Pearl opener.
Mini Minor?
Yeah, somebody opens for...
I think Frank has this one.
Oh, it's not Pearl. Pearl Bailey.
Oh, shh. I just heard it in the audience.
Mini Pearl. Oh,
it is
Howdy.
Howdy. Howdy. Howdy. Howdy.
Try this one, Francine.
10 points.
Just so much gossip about Lorenz Love. L-O-R-E-N apostrophe S.
L-O-R-E-N.
Just so much gossip about Lorenz Love.
Could be Lauren Bacall.
Just so much.
No.
Ralph Lauren.
Oh, yes.
Who's Ralph Lorenz Love?
Once again, the other side.
Yep.
It isn't Ralph. No, L-O-R-E-N. Like, oh, they're mumbling.
Shh.
What is
Lauren?
Just. Oh, it looks tough.
Lauren.
Just so much gossip about Lorenz Love.
Okay.
I think it's a blank slate.
It's a blank slate.
I go to the other side.
Pontiac.
Pontiac. Yes, it's exactly right.
Carlo Ponti.
Yes.
Sophia Loren. Her husband of many, many years, Carlo Ponti.
Oh, God.
Just so much gossip would be Pontiac. Yes, very good. Try this one, Paula. Praise for Theda. T-H-E-D-A.
Barracuda.
That's exactly right.
Oh, sorry.
Great.
She's too fast.
We're happy with that.
She is too fast. Praise for Theda. Let me explain. Theda Barra, the great vamp of the 20s, and she gets kudos. Barracudo is the car.
Okay.
And finally, and the worst one of them all, Tony, a possible occupational disengagement remark.
Oh, a possible what?
Occupational disengagement remark.
Oh, take this job in Chevy?
That is exactly right.
Thank you, Bob Lyons.
Bob Lyons actually said, I heard him say Chevette, and that is right. It is take this job and shove it, Chevette.
That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at sayu.net. That's SAYSYOU. That's our look back. Now, back to the present.
Let's close tonight. A few weeks ago, we featured a round from Joanne Federico's Watch Your Language, a Maine-grown radio game with words. She's been kind enough to do some work for us again, this time around we call Say It Again, Sam. Popular song titles often match up well with the titles of great works of literature. An example, what Dusty Springfield hit could accompany Dickens' colorful novel that includes a rich, eccentric recluse?
Wishing and hoping, great expectations.
Oh, man, I should have did that. Oh, that's, I'm so excited. That's exactly right.
Wow.
Very good, Dave.
Wishing and hoping. Great expectations. Very good.
I'm sorry. Anybody who knows Wishing and Hoping by Dusty Springfield, that's the answer of the night. I'm sorry about that. That's very good.
You got it. You nailed it.
Wishing and Hoping and Great Expectations. That's
okay. So
yeah,
the concept.
You sort of, you get the concept now.
Yeah, it's not the title.
Yeah,
it's the concept.
It's the concept. Thank you very much, Dee, because otherwise we're drowning right here.
Give us 1,000 points.
Try this one, Carolyn.
All right.
What Rolling Stones song expresses Milton's attitude toward one of his subjects?
Milton's attitude towards one of his subjects? Oh, Sympathy for the Devil?
And?
Paradise Lost.
Thank you.
10 points. Nicely done. I got half a mind to give you the Dusty Springfield again. All right. Dee, try this one. What Anne Margaret cinematic song could accompany a Pulitzer Prize-winning novel about a Southern lawyer?
Okay. To Kill a Mockingbird.
Got it.
Well, then. To Kill a Mockingbird.
And what was the first part?
Anne Margaret's cinematic.
Got it. Bye Bye Birdie and To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
Bye
Bye Birdie, To Kill a Mockingbird. Okay, Dan.
I'm dreading this moment.
Wait a minute here.
I'm dreading this moment, and... Oh, sorry.
Dan, what Beatles song could accompany Hardy's grim novel featuring a child named Father Time?
Is it Return of the Native?
Return of the Native.
No?
No. Jude the Obscure. Hey, Jude.
I have the best teammates ever.
Hey, Jude, and Jude the Obscure is exactly right. Arnie, what David Bowie song could accompany Ovid's series of mythological tales in Latin?
Changes and Metamorphoses.
Oh, my goodness.
That was easy.
I didn't think you'd get that one. I really didn't. Rats. I'm still back on...
You're still back on the rats.
I'm back on Wishing and Hoping.
Yeah,
so I never got past that one. All right, Paula. What Cole Porter song could accompany Sophocles' study of a vengeful woman?
A vengeful woman.
Yep.
Vengeful woman.
Oh.
I can give you a hint, but it'll give it to you right away, I think.
Night and day.
These last two were
we
real hard.
Cannot afford to lose this one. Come on.
I didn't brush up on my Sophocles.
Oh, I'm sorry. What Cole Porter song performed memorably by Mary Martin?
Could accompany... My Heart Belongs to Daddy.
Yes.
And
Electra.
And Electra. That's exactly right.
Wow.
I gave you the clue, but that's 7 points.
Thank
so
you, we'll
you get 7 points for that. Very good, Dan. It is My Heart Belongs to Daddy and Electra, of course. And finally, Francine, what Dion hit could accompany the Joycean novel that takes place on June 16th, 1904?
Well, June 16th, 1904 is Ulysses.
Yeah.
It's part of it. What Dion hit?
Run around Sue.
You know, I have to give him some points. But
Run around Sue, teenager in love.
Oh, he's killing himself, ladies and gentlemen. He's going for it.
Dion.
He's running down Dion's greatest hits.
Abraham, Martin, and John.
I can see the cover now.
And Ulysses.
He's got every Dion song but the one that he needs.
But the one that he needs.
Is there one with the girl's name?
I think the audience knows this. Don't say it out loud.
Wait a minute.
It's on the tip of your tongue. Just stick your tongue out. The audience will read it.
Yeah, that's right. Dion.
I don't think he's going to get it. You got Ulysses. 5 points because you do know that it's Ulysses.
So what is, like...
Does the other side know?
Nighttown? No.
Audience?
The Wanderer.
The Wanderer.
The Wanderer.
The Wanderer.
And Ulysses.
The Wanderer, yes.
You got the 5 points for that. I don't believe it. On a day when Dan's team scores 91 points, it's not enough. Winners this week, 97 points, Arnie Reisman's team. Congratulations. That is all we have time for this week's show. Thanks so much to Dave Kanzig and all the folks at IdeaStream here in Cleveland. Also to Jeremy Newton Smith at the Capitol and the incomparable Joy Roller from the Gordon Square Arts District. Schur and Salkin are the writers. Mike Euler mans the meters. And Zach Moore is our associate producer and webmaster. From our observations, you gotta love the people out here. It takes a special sense of humor to appreciate a town whose mayor set his hair on fire. Not once, but twice. Thanks for the hospitality, Cleveland. We'll see you all next week.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
And celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, you've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. Support for our programming comes from our WPLN listener members, from the Nashville Public Radio Producers Circle, whose generous members, including Hank and Melinda Haynes and Sandra Roberts and Parker Duncan, believe in the lasting value of public radio.
On the next Fresh Air, Joan Rivers. Her new book is I Hate Everyone, Starting with Me.
I hate obituaries. They don't tell you the truth.
So you read obituaries like every day. It's one of the first things.
Sure, because that's how I meet new men. The minute it says Sadie Schwartz.
Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. The Supreme Court is considering that Montana case on campaign spending. We'll check in. Also, a Cosmo with Sarah Jessica Parker, a power lunch with Donald Trump. Meals with celebs have become a big election year fundraiser. That's Public Radio's daily digest of news and culture here and now.
Weekdays at noon. Taking a look at Nashville weather for today, showers likely, with thunderstorms also possible this afternoon, cloudy and a high near 80 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms likely tonight, cloudy skies and the low in the upper 60s. Showers and thunderstorms likely tomorrow, with cloudy skies and the high in